October baby. I'm going to encourage you to go. It is at the Christian bookstore, but I think you find it at other bookstores too. It was on the big screen. Deb and I have had it around the house. I don't know how long we've had it, but I decided to get it out and look at it a while back. And guys, especially you big guys that are tough, you may not be tough by the end of the movie. It is a fantastic movie done with quality actors. It's about abortion. And I'm not going to tell you much about the movie because I want you to see it, but I want to tell you something that happened. One of the actresses that played a part, it wasn't a huge part, but it was a huge part in what she played in the movie. She got the script. They asked her if she'd do it, and she said, yes, I'll do it. And she got the script, and she read to the place where her part started. And she is playing a lady who got pregnant, and it wasn't a good time to have the baby. Tried to abort the baby, and something went terribly wrong. They had to take her to the hospital. And when they got her to the hospital, it was not one baby, it was twins, boy and a girl. And unfortunately, because of the result of the abortion, one of the children was very much injured because of the attempt. And the other child was in good shape, only very young, you know, not quite to term. And the doctor and his wife at the hospital adopted the kids. Well, later on, this girl goes back and finds her mother, her birth mother, and her birth mother doesn't want anything to do with her. But God working in her life, she was able to write down on a piece of paper, "I forgive you," and left it in her office. And she's a lawyer. What the writers and the producers didn't know, the lady they asked to do that part had worked in a law office, and pretty much the same thing had happened to her. She got pregnant, and back in those days it was kind of tough if you weren't married, and it was one of those things that were shunned, and so she figured the best way to take care of that was abortion. And she'd been dealing with that for years. And when you see the movie and you see her reaction when she finds the note, "I've been forgiven," was not acting. It really happened in her life. And she said the Lord used that to bring closure in her life after those years of going through that. Now, that doesn't give away the movie because you've got to see the movie to know how it all works out. But I want to encourage you to get that. It'll be an encouragement to you. It's a family movie. You can watch it together. It's a good one, but I'm going to tell you, we need some more positive. And I think it's really the same guys that put out God's Not Dead. They've got a number of movies coming out. In fact, this year there's going to be a couple that's coming out. One of them's already out. Another one will be coming out pretty soon. Do you get a chance to go and support those or take someone who doesn't know the Lord? I think it'll be an encouragement to you. All right, you notice we got our blackboard over here. Some of you may not be able to read the blackboard, but that's okay. We're going to start in Acts chapter 1. Let's start there first, and then we'll go to some other places in just a moment. Acts chapter 1. Do you ever worry about the future? You know, if you watch the news, you'll get really depressed fast. You never know all the things that are happening today, the riots that are going on up a little bit farther north, and some of the many things that are happening in the Middle East, and all those things that are happening. And it appears that if we're not in the end times, we're really close to the end times. With the things that we see, though, so how are we supposed to handle those things? Do we worry about them? Do we get upset by them? How do we handle those things? What do we do in the future? How do we look for the future? Is it something where we just put our hope in the Lord and go on as if nothing happens? How do we treat those things? Well, in chapter 1 of Acts, Jesus has been with his disciples for 40 days after the resurrection. All right? They know he's alive. He's been there. In fact, in one place, over 500 of his followers at one place saw the resurrected Savior. All right? Jesus is about to ascend up into heaven. Last conversation that he has personally with his disciples as he, most of you know the Great Commission is the very beginning of chapter 1. All right? And his disciples are all there. Notice verse 6 of chapter 1. Therefore, when they had come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, when will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? Now, by the way, these are guys that have walked with Jesus for 3.5 years, okay? They've heard him preach. They've heard him preach about the kingdom. You and I know there's two kingdoms that the Bible talks about. One of them is a physical kingdom where the Lord will rule and reign in its fulfillment to Israel. Be 1,000 years, the Bible talks about. The other one is that spiritual kingdom of all of those who belong to the Lord now. He is our king, and we're to follow him and obey him. But right now, the disciples are thinking the physical kingdom. And they're saying, Lord, is it time? Are you going to do it now? They're thinking about moving into the kingdom, that future thing, what's going to happen, the promises of God that was made in the Old Testament as well as the New Testament, and they're worried about this. Let's look at the Lord's response. And he said to them, it is not for you to know the times and the seasons, which the Father has put in his own authority. So what did Jesus just say to his disciples?
You don't need to know. You don't need to
know. Does that sound like we shouldn't worry about the future? Well, let's look a little bit deeper. Now, he didn't stop giving them something because in the very next verse, he gives the Great Commission that we find in the book of Acts. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Well, obviously, Jesus is saying, you know, it's not for you to know when the kingdom's going to be. It's in fact, Jesus goes in other portions and says, the angels in heaven don't even know. I don't even know. Only the Father knows that time. Now, we were just thinking about that a while ago, saying there's one of those mysteries. Jesus is the all-knowing God, and yet he does not know the time. There are some of those mysteries we find sometimes in the life of Christ. And he tells his disciples, guys, it's not for you to know the time, but you got a job to do. And I want you to do that job until that time comes. Well, that led me to somewhere else. You notice Matthew chapter 24. Let's turn there. Matthew chapter 24. Don't have to go all that far, but I want you to look. Matthew chapter 24. And we're going to begin reading in verse 36. Now, what starts the conversation that's found in chapter 24 and 25? Jesus is with his disciples, and they're at the Temple Mount, and they're looking at all the buildings right there that's on that structure. And Jesus says to them, there's coming a time when there will not be one stone left upon another. In other words, everything that you see here and you hold dear will be completely destroyed. And by the way, that actually happened. AD 70, under Titus. They came into Jerusalem, and they were trying to get all the gold and silver and anything else precious out of the temple and all the other buildings, and they tore it completely apart and even set it on fire. Pretty easy to get the gold out if you mailed it. So there wasn't nothing left when they got through. They leveled everything there, just as Jesus had said. But that kind of started the conversation. As Jesus told them, they asked, well, when's this going to take place? When is all of this future stuff going to happen? In chapter 24, notice in verse 36. But of the day and the hour, no one knows. Not even the angels of heaven, but my Father only. All right, Jesus again says, you don't know it. Well, let me ask you something. If we're not going to know the time, how come the Bible gives us end time things to look for? All right, Raymond said it's for inspiration. If we don't know the date and time, why does he give us all these signs? So we're watching, so we'll be ready. Boy, that almost sounds like my board. Watchfulness and preparedness. Close. Well, let's look. Now, when you look at these things, guys, I want you to think about it. All these things sound a little bit close when we talk about definition. You've got watchfulness, you've got preparedness, and you got faithfulness, and you got expectancy. All of those carry an air of being almost the same word with almost the same kind of definition, but a little bit different. And we're going to look at those because Jesus, in a sense, talked about all of these. Notice as he begins talking to his disciples, as he said, nobody knows the time or day, but notice verse 37. But as in the days of Noah were, as also will be the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days before the flood, they were eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage unto the day that Noah entered into the ark, and did not know until the flood came and took them all away, so also will be the coming of the Son of Man be. Then two men will be in the field, one will be taken, the other left. Two women will be grinding at the mill, one will be taken and the other left. Now Jesus says to his disciples, guys, when it is time, no one's going to realize it. It's going to catch you off guard. Just like in Noah's day. Noah's building an ark. How many people got on that ark? Well, you know, the scriptures, and it's not very plain, but the scriptures appear either by the things that he was doing or out and out preaching that he preached for 100 and something years, and nobody listened to a word he said. That's a hard ministry. Well, you know, think about it for a minute, guys. It never rained before. No such thing as rain. It hadn't rained up until the time the ark was finished. God had watered the land with dew. They're in the wilderness. There's not really any water close by. He's building a boat. Now you got to think, maybe he was missing a few screws. And so they never paid attention to what he was saying. It didn't even register that he was right. They probably thought he was a crazy fanatic. And so when the day came for the floods to start and they shut the door, what do you think happened when that first lightning bolt hit? And them raindrops started coming down. Maybe we were a little short. We should have been a little more patient. Let's go get him. So you can imagine them showing up. And all the doors are closed. You reckon somebody knocked on the door? Come on, we'll listen to you this time. It's too late. They didn't know what happened until it had already reached them. Jesus said, that's what it's going to be like. Now notice in verse 42. Watch. Watch. What am I watching for? You told me that I wouldn't know the day or the time or the season, whatever term you want to. By the way, when the Bible uses the term seasons, it just means a period of time. We have four seasons. Winter? No, Florida we don't. Yeah, it's just summer and winter. But we have enjoyed the last couple of days. They've been nice. We've got a little spring coming in there, okay? All right? But when you look at the seasons, it says we're not going to know the time or the date, but we're still to be watchful. That sort of rings not quite right. Why are we to be watchful? I'm glad you asked. Notice what he says. Watch, therefore, for you do not know what hour your Lord is coming. But know this, that if the master of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not allowed his house to be broken into. Here's the story the Lord's using to get their attention. He said, listen, if the owner of the house knew when the guy was going to come break in. Now, wouldn't it be nice before the thief came to your house, he'd write you a little letter, send it to you in the mail. Thursday, 1 o'clock in the morning, I'll be there. I don't have dogs in my house, but that one night, I would let Miss Bell be a part of my household. Like to see how much drawers she could bite off at one time, you know? I'd have my buddy Smith and Wesson there as well. But since we don't have a letter that the robber sends out ahead of time to let you know he's coming, and since we don't know the exact time and date that Jesus is coming, the Bible says, be watchful at all times. Because if you're watching at all times, you'll see it happen. Amen. Now, why do you think it would be important for us to watch? Well, I guess we really need to understand what it means to watch. Is he talking about I can't ever sleep? That I have to stay awake all the time? I can't rest. I can't go on vacation. Does that mean I just got to watch all the time? There's been some groups in the past that supposedly they had a prophet that named the time that Jesus would come, and so they would go out and sell all the earthly belongings and wait till Jesus come back. They're still waiting. It hadn't happened. Listen to the definition of watch. Well, let's see. To refrain from sleep. Uh-oh, we can't sleep. Pay attention. Mindful of threatening dangers. Alert. Vigilant. Watchful or watching indicates that the Christian is alert or vigilant. In order to defend himself against spiritual foes, he is properly prepared for any surprise or a sudden change in his circumstances. And above all, in order that his fellowship with God in prayer may be undisturbed. So now what does that mean when he says, be watchful? Have you ever grown complacent? Ever gotten a rut? Ever gotten a little stale? You know, there's some things that really taste bad, stale. Saltine crackers. Bread. Marriage. Oh, it's... I missed it. What'd you say, buddy? No, it's hard to preach like this. I didn't say my marriage was stale. I just said marriage. Guys, in life, if we're not careful, we go spiritually asleep. We know how to play the game just like anybody else, just like the lost people out there. We have life. Life comes every day. You get up, you go to work, you come home, you go to sleep, you get up, you go to work, you come home and go to sleep. You know, that goes on, and maybe if you're blessed, you might get some time off on the weekend so that you can sleep in a little bit longer and get up and do something. Kind of the same thing over and over again. And if you're not careful, you can get in a rut. You know what a rut is, don't you? That's a grave with both ends knocked out. People come up with the weirdest things at weird times. We were having a funeral for Miss Faye, and the funeral director was telling me about the pastor that fell in. He wasn't paying attention. He got too close. And really happened. Fell in. In the grave. He was in a serious rut, wasn't he? How do you bounce back like nothing happened after you do that? I don't know. Surprise! But guys, Satan has demons watching us. He wants to defeat our lives. You know, he doesn't care about lost people. Lost people are lost. Lost people are not going to do anything for the kingdom of God. They're not trying. They're not looking. They're not seeing. That they don't even care. But God's called you and I to be His hands and His arms and His mouth and His feet here on earth. And He's called us and gave us the Great Commission to go out and share the gospel with others and to tell them about Christ so that their lives can be changed. But if Satan can cause us not to care, just live every day. He's got us defeated. I mean, we don't even have to fall into big old sin. Just the sin of not caring. Just spiritually asleep. He says, be watchful. And God, by the way, guys, there's other passages that talks about the same thing, how important it is to be watchful. All right, how about preparedness? What in the world is prepared? How can I prepare for the rapture? How can I prepare for the second coming of the Lord? How can I be ready? Well, first of all, get saved. All right, without that, you're not going to like what happens, okay? I want you to know that. Get saved. Trust Christ now. All right? But as believers, how can we prepare? Some of the saddest things that I hear are at funerals. I haven't fell in the grave yet, so. But the saddest thing I hear at funerals is somebody comes back and says, I wished I said I love them more. I wished I hadn't been arguing with them before they had that heart attack. Now I can't go back and change it. I wished I would have done so and so. Thought I had lots of time. Have you ever been in a funeral visitation and you find friends you hadn't seen in 15 or 20 years? And you go, isn't it sad that the only time we get to see each other is at a funeral? That is truly sad, isn't it? It really is. I mean, sometimes they were really good friends that we had and just kind of maybe moved away or life got in the way and you just kind of drifted apart, didn't try to, wasn't something you set out to do, but it takes a funeral to bring you back together, and then again, that's the last time you see them for the next friend dies. Guys, one of the ways that you can be prepared for the Lord to come back is take care of those things right now. Start telling people you love them. Don't wait till it's too late. If you need to get forgiveness from somebody, go to them, take care of it now. Life's too short. Well, Brother Terry, you just said we don't know when he's coming back. That's right, it might be in 5 minutes. Are you ready? I'm going on the first bus. You can go on the second one if you want to, but I'm going on the first one when it comes. But the thing is, well, let's read on. Let's go on just a little bit farther. Notice verse 44. Therefore, you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour when you don't expect Him. Guys, we don't know when it's going to be. It could be a matter of minutes. One of us could have a heart attack in the next 5 minutes. One of us could have a stroke. A terrorist might plant a bomb here. It's possible. Somebody might go into a school tomorrow carrying a gun because somebody was mean to him or her. Shoot up the school. Guys, that's life. We don't know when the end's coming. So, you got to be alert and awake. You need to be prepared. How many of you got wills? Well, now you thought ahead enough to prepare a little, didn't you? Do you want to have any regrets when you face the Lord? Do you want to remember back to maybe somebody you hurt and never got it right, or a family member that you don't get along with? Or somebody you needed to witness to, but it just never became convenient. Don't put it off. Guys, I can't guarantee you any time. I don't know when our time's up. We might not get to come to all those meetings this afternoon. Dang. I'd just break my heart. But there is no guarantee. We don't know. So you have to be prepared. Well, let's go on. Not only has he talked about being watchful and being prepared, he wants us to be faithful. All right, let's go on and see what he said. Verse 45, who then is a faithful and wise servant whom his master made ruler over his household to give them food in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his master, when he comes, will find so doing. Surely I say to you that he will make him ruler over all good things. All right, here's a story. It's talking about somebody who had to go away, so he put someone in charge. So the household be fed, everything be taken care of. There was jobs to be done, things to take care of. So he put somebody in charge that he thought was faithful. So if God's called us to be faithful, what does that mean we should be doing until the Lord comes back or calls us home? Well, we got a job to do, don't we? Great Commission. What is the Great Commission? That's right. Start at home and work your way out to the uttermost parts of the world. Tell them about Jesus. We've got that job. What other jobs do we have? We're supposed to come together, worship God, fellowship, and strengthen one another. That means church. I don't believe that was an option. I believe God told us to do that. In fact, He said in Hebrews, not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together as some. All right? What else have we got to do that God's entrusted us with? All right, it's important for us to read the Word. In fact, that's our nourishment, our spiritual nourishment, is to stay in the Word, read it, know it, understand it, and know more about the Lord. We can be closer to the Lord that way, right? Got the responsibility to take care of that. That's part of being faithful. It also has to do with being our walk every day. We're to be faithful unto Him and His Word in the way that we live out our lives. So we're to be watchful. We're to be prepared. We're to be faithful. There's one other. Expectancy. Where in the world and what does that mean? Looking forward to, Curtis said. I can be expected without looking forward to it. Just thought I'd qualify that. I'm going to have to mow the lawn pretty soon. It's an expected thing. Well, let's finish out that passage we just started under faithfulness. And notice verse 48. But if that evil servant says in his heart, my master's not coming, I can do what I want to. I can live the way I want to. I ain't got an answer to nobody. If I want to beat the help, I can beat the help. You don't think so? Read that. It says that. It says verse 49, begins to beat his fellow servants. Hey, I can go out to the bar and do what I want to. It doesn't matter. He's not here. He's not watching. Guys, when you expect the Lord to come back at any moment, how does that motivate you to be different? Well, now he wasn't expecting the master to come back, so he started beating the servants. He started going out just having a great time because he wasn't around seeing. But if you got an expectancy that the Lord's right there and he could be back any moment, and he probably will be back any moment, then the way I live my life is going to be a lot different because I'm expecting him any moment. What if he was taking care of somebody's place and you knew the boss was coming back in about 15 minutes? What would you be doing? I'd make sure it was cleaned up and everything was in order because when he got back, I wanted to have a job next time, you know? You take care of it. Well, if you think the Lord's coming back and he's coming back any moment, it's going to motivate you to be on your toes, ready, doing the best job you can. Guys, think about it for a minute. If we lived our lives like this, always on alert, keeping our life always prepared, never letting up but staying faithful in everything I do, and expect Him to come back any moment, what is the Lord going to find when He comes back? So does it matter if it's going to happen 5 minutes from now? 5 days from now? 5 years from now? Or 500 years from now? Do we have to know the exact day? Because I'm not worried about that to motivate me because He can come back anytime, so I'm going to always be looking. I'm going to make sure I take care of things right now. Don't put them off, but take care of them. Life's too short. Guys, if you got a sin problem, He can deliver you. Take care of it right now. Or I like to say, have a blast while you last. He didn't say you couldn't have fun, right? He didn't say we had to stay at church 24 hours a day and sing hymns. He says, always be alert. Take care of things right now. Don't get lazy. How many of you have a lazy bone? You know, that thing kicks my tail a lot of times. I'll get up and I'll have all this good plan in my mind that I'd like to take care of, and I'll go. Maybe tomorrow. I'm a procrastinator too, so it, you know, kind of goes together. Listen, the Lord can help you get through that laziness as well, but always make sure you understand it could be today. It could be in the next few moments, and it keeps you on your toes. Let's bow our heads, close our eyes for a moment. Father, sometimes we look at the things happening around us in the world today, and the world's pretty scary. And Father, to most of us, as we look at things around us, as we look at the news and things that are happening in the other parts of the world as well as in America itself, most of us just have the idea we're living in the end times. And the Scriptures do tell us that even though we don't know the exact day, we can start looking and see the indications. They are apparent. But Father, whether it happens in the next few moments or the next few years, You've told us that there's no way to know. But we have to live our life every day alert. Not spiritually asleep or not paying attention, not in a rut, but Father, conscious of what's happening around us, watching for the enemy, watching for even ways that we can minister to one another, but being alert, watching. And that we're always to be prepared, whatever that might be, whether it's to get right with someone or take care of that saying, I love you, to other people more than we do, visiting those, not waiting till someone dies before we go to see them. Prepared so that when you do come, we don't have to have regrets. I wished I. Father, You called us to be faithful in season and out of season. Through the good times, the bad times, the blessings, the circumstances, we're to be faithful. Just as You were faithful for us. And Father, that expectancy. We don't know when it is, but we're going to be prepared that it might be any moment. We're going to keep the house clean. Just in case You show up. And I'm not talking about the house we live in. I'm talking about this house, the bodies. We're going to keep those clean. We're going to keep those about Your business. Father, maybe there's someone here that hasn't got that relationship with You. They can't be prepared. They really can't even be watchful because they don't know. They don't understand. It has to start with a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Father, in just a moment, I'll be standing down front. Miss Debbie is leading in a hymn of invitation. I'm standing down here to receive someone who may have a question, somebody who wants to know how to trust Christ. Maybe somebody wants someone to pray with them. Maybe they want to come up to the altar. Just use the altar. Father, the invitation's yours, not ours. Father, we love you. We ask all these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen.